on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live at Pulse 1 Towers. We want to get into the rugby league this evening, but in the studio we have the Italian Stallion. It is Elliot Mentala.
Good evening.
We've also got the reggae warrior himself, Ross Peltier. Pouts.
Evening.
And we got the power that is the number one knowledgeable person in the world of rugby league. It's the guy with his finger on the pulse, no pun intended. The power that is Aaron Bauer.
Good evening.
Aaron. Aaron, you haven't been here for a while. Where you been, brother?
Having a break, off season, mate. We all need one.
You've been at the WWF, haven't you? But let's stick there with it. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We're giving away two tickets to the Bradford Bulls 20-year anniversary of their 1997 Super League win. It's going to be a fantastic night. Loads of the old stars are coming back. I'm going to be there hosting the event. Leon, we'll dig him up somewhere. We'll get him out of Cumbria. Come down and he can co-host with me. It's going to be a fantastic event. If you want to find out how you can get tickets to it, just go on the website at the Bradford Bulls. Equally, you can come on this show and just www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your details and you can win a couple of those tickets. All right, it's going to be a fantastic night. So let's get this World Cup Rugby League chat underway. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
What about that whole time, I don't take a breath.
How do you do it?
That's a lot of words, eh?
That's a talent.
That's a lot of words. Aaron, you pull that to yourself. The boys, you used climb in on that one together. Aaron, where you been, man?
Like I said, just having a break from RHP. Just RHP. A bit of an off-season. Only 2 weeks, sir. Only 2 weeks. Back into it now.
I've got to say this. You went to the WWE, is it? Down in Manchester last night.
Yeah,
you were putting the photos on, I've got to be on Wellgel. Wellgel, hashtag.
It's good. Love it. Guilty pleasure.
Cool.
Guilty pleasure.
Love it. It's nonsense, isn't it? Let's be honest. I remember watching, getting into wrestling back in, WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3. I mean, it's up to like 50 now or something like that. But WrestleMania 3, that's when I got into it. Hulk Hogan, he fought Andre the Giant in the, it was the Ultimate match. Then you had Hillbilly Jim and all these sort of wrestlers. I think they're all passed away now, God bless their cotton socks. But you think about the job that these two guys next to you do, where they really are bashing each other.
Proper.
But the athleticism is impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, proper athletes. Not like these boys, though. We're already back in pre-season training.
Already, I know. And I've got to admit, I'm feeling a bit sore today. A bit achy in the joints.
Well, you've not been sore in pre-season,
knees,
have you?
I've got man flu.
Oh, okay. Right.
Feel sorry for me, but these guys.
These guys have just been doing testing. Yeah, I'm sure they feel sorry for you.
They've been getting flogged. We always talk about it. Pre-season, boys, how's it been? You started on Tuesday. Ross, you were in on Monday.
Nah, that one got canned, I think. We're starting on Tuesday.
Oh, you started on Tuesday. Oh, already failed. Because you brushed me, didn't you? Ross was supposed to come up and do some work with me, but he sent me a text message saying that he's feeling under the weather.
Yeah, I went well.
He's still trying to psychologically recover from the Reggae Warriors not being in the World Cup. So come on, tell us about your pre-season opening day. Week one is always about testing.
Yeah, just a bit of testing, really. Squatting testing. And then, you know, just started like a few con games, you know, get us blowing. I mean, it was an easy enough session, but yeah, it got me in lungs enough. I was blowing, yeah.
John Elliott, how was it for you, mate?
It was good, actually. See some familiar faces, obviously some new faces for me. But no, I'm quite optimistic. I really enjoyed it and good to be back into it now.
You were saying you were quite surprised by how many faces you did recognise.
Yeah, like obviously I've gone to a new club, but to be honest, it's I knew pretty much a lot of the people. There were more people I knew than I didn't know, to be honest. It's a bit strange, but obviously it made me feel quite at home pretty quick.
Well, you are a Bradford lad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I've obviously never been there before, but there's people, you know, and yeah, we're good.
Let's just say you're home, mate. You're where you should have been from the beginning. Back to the strength and conditioning coach you had at Leeds when you were at the Rhinos.
Yeah, yeah.
He's now the new strength and S&C for the Bradford Bulls.
Yeah, Chris Black. I worked with him when I was at Leeds in 2015, I think, when they won the treble, so obviously he's come off a very good reputation, and you know, good to see some familiar faces.
So Ross, because obviously you're one of the leanest players as a big donkey in the middle of the park. Yeah. Donkeys, in my career, what I've seen is the big boys, they always try to you know, sidle up to the strength and conditioning coach. Yeah. They know this is the guy that can bring me the most pain in my career.
I think he's already been tipped off about me, you know, so he's given me a few words.
Well, there's an up-and-coming plan that we have for you, but we'll let all the listeners in on it a few weeks down the line.
Yeah.
We've got a big plan for Ross coming up. It's going to be great for Ross and great for the game of rugby league. For the Reggae Warrior to achieve his prime.
Yep, get me firing.
We're being cryptic at this point. Okay, so let's talk rugby league. I think, let's talk about the World Cup. World Cup, because that's what's on at the moment. I don't really like to do this, but, you know, obviously controversy does play its part. And let's talk about the guys that have been sent home from the World Cup weeks early. Johnny Walker.
Sam Brooks. Danny Bruff.
Danny Bruff,
Aloy
Pelissier from France. So three boys from Scotland. Their captain, Danny Bruff. that's the big one. The three boys from Scotland. Aloy Pelissier getting in late. He missed the curfew. So I just wonder if there was something a little more to that, because that seems like a bit harsh for just getting in a bit late. But that's the official line that they come out with. But I think looking at what Scotland, the guys were too drunk to get on the plane. Let's discuss that. Let's discuss being on tour, boys, because both of you guys have been on tour. Have you, in your capacity as a journalist, have you ever been away on a...
No.
So you're always home based.
Magic weekend or Wembley for 3 nights a year. That counts.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I saw you at Wembley this year.
we did.
We had a beer. Yeah, so... I think these guys are better qualified to talk about what it's like on tour and how you can...
You'll get there. You just have to keep, you know, you end up being the senior manager and you basically say, I have to go.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah.
I have to go out on that World Cup because I've got to cover it. I've got to be there in person. So give yourself 15 years and you'll be there.
15 years.
To hard yards in. But boys, let's talk about the culture on tour, in the squad, letting your hair down, and what are the parameters?
There's a lot that goes on them tours. I've seen many of things.
I've seen so much that goes on. I'm gonna say something bad here, but I'm gonna say I wasn't a part of it.
Well, we go on international tours a lot. You know, with Jamaica, we get to go to America a lot. Been to Ireland, been to France recently. Mm-hmm. You know, and seeing things from in America, guns being drawn on players to over slices of pizza, to stuff like that.
The matter of you're on tour. Your team has not played well.
Yeah.
They've actually been stuffed twice. You're starting to get sick of each other, and you know that happens. You know, seeing the same faces every time. You're away from your family. A lot of players have families. And they don't see their children and they're missing their kids and they can only see them on Facebook, which, for me, used to make me even pine even harder. I wanted to pick up my kids and give them a cuddle, you know, and all that sort of stuff. How do you let your hair down?
Obviously, I think, you know, after a game as well, I think they must have gone over the line a fair bit for it to be sent home. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a beer.
Well, they were that drunk they couldn't get on the plane. They were turned away from the airline.
Obviously, I think with the results how they've been going, that's probably escalated the situation in itself. But, it must have been fairly bad for them to...
Have either of you ever been turned away from getting on a plane?
No, I haven't myself, but, you know, when I heard the news, I knew straight away it'd be Johnny, because no one would have been surprised.
Oh, actually.
Going away with Keithley and stuff, he's nearly been turned away on planes when we've been at Toulouse and stuff like that. So
come on, Ross, you got to share. I mean, Johnny Walker we're talking about here, he put on his Facebook page and a post, an update, didn't he, about the governing body. Go on.
Yeah, he was thanking his family for getting him back to where he needed to be, and he was giving RFL a bit because he thought it was their responsibility to get him home, which... I don't know why you'd thought RFL would try to get you home when you've been turned away from a flight.
I'm sure the RFL ain't
World Cup, but
responsible for England.
It'll be Scotland.
I don't think you were happy about that. But
he was on tour. He was actually playing out in Australia.
Yeah, he already
so knows. He met the team out there. Yeah. No one ever probably discussed this, did they? And then being sent home in the manner in which he had, because he was too intoxicated to get on a plane, it's never going to work well, is it?
Nah, but it's very Johnny-esque. Thing to happen.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be covering more of the what's up and what's going down in the Rugby League World Cup. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Challenge Cup. Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. In the studio, we have the Italian stallion, which is Elliot Mancella, the reggae warrior himself, Ross Peltier, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. We're discussing getting up to mischief while you're on tour with on an international duty. It was our lead this evening. We're talking about the Scottish players that have been sent home for being too drunk to get on a plane, basically. So they were turned away, and because they were turned away, they were sent home, got on a longer plane flight. They should have been going to, where were they going, out to Perth, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's an 8-hour flight anyway, so might as well just add another 12 hours onto it, 22 hours, yeah. Look, I got to admit, during my career, and I watched things change over the course of my career, so I'm a bit long in the tooth now, but I started playing in 1994. What was appropriate behaviour in 1994 and what was appropriate behaviour when I retired in 2011 were worlds apart. But I think part of the legacy of that culture is still bouncing about. Is it hard on Wood? Is it hard on Walker when your captain's also a part of that gang that can't get on? And to be honest, those are the three players that were turned away. What about the potentially could have been more players that were involved, but just had enough nous about them to act accordingly or appropriately.
I don't particularly see a problem. I mean, you only play once a week in this World Cup as well, so it's a long time between games.
Long time.
Really boring on tour. I mean, there's only so much you can sit and stare at a hotel room, and you've got a cabin fever sets in, and I think you're entitled to go out and have a drink. The other thing is that, you know, these guys aren't footballers at the end of the day. They don't earn a lot of money. They're out there doing it for the love of it, and I think they're entitled to let their hair down a little bit. You know, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to just train like pros non-stop after they've been playing in the mud and rain for 8 months? Or some of them have started pre-season training in November, so some of them will have started pre-season training 12 months ago and they're still going. I think they're entitled to let their hair down. Obviously, the three who were so drunk that they couldn't get on the plane, you struggle to have any sympathy for, because they've ruined the World Cup, haven't they? And they've let their teammates down. There's a line, I guess, and they've crossed it, but I think everyone's allowed to have a drink now and again. You know, it's not a crime, is it? That's my opinion.
Well, it's not a crime.
But yeah, I see it from a bit of like, when you're on international duty, having the World Cup they've had, I think crossing the line that much, I think it just brings embarrassment on everyone, really, because it's not like they've made a good show of themselves anyway. Now this, you know, it's just, with one more game, you'd have thought they'd be concentrating on setting summit right, but I think it's just gone.
This sounds like a guy who's just missed out on the World Cup by one game, doesn't it? I don't know.
They're not going to show it the respect, and the reggae warriors should be in there.
The reggae warriors wouldn't have been doing this.
No, they probably won't.
They just hit it back. Yeah.
It's an interesting one. What are your thoughts on it, Elliot?
I kind of agree with Aaron, to be honest. Like, you know, it's a long, long year, and obviously they've gone over there and they've been pumped both games, and the confidence is going to be on the floor. And I just think there's no crime having a beer, but obviously, don't get me wrong, they must have gone over the line and stepped over it too far. But yeah, I agree with Aaron really on that one.
I mean, but just on what Peltz is saying, you know, there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility to your teammates. There's a responsibility to the badge, and importantly, maybe it brings up another angle to it. You know, for the most part, a lot of those players that you call the Scottish players, they probably more refer to themselves as Englishmen. And are they really embedded into the Scottish badge? You know, how much do they know about the culture of Scotland? How much is that a part? You know, because when you pull on a Scottish jumper, you're actually representing a whole nation.
I think they do care enough to play. I mean, this is only speculation, but you hear stuff about the guys playing for Scotland, Ireland and Wales that the money is practically non-existent. I mean, the Irish guys, I think, are getting expenses of like £30 a day, which really in Australia...
Tripled what the reggae warriors got then.
Yeah, probably gets you a decent coffee in Australia, doesn't it? £30, you know, especially in Sydney. they're doing it for the love of it. They're doing it because they love playing and they want to play in a World Cup, aren't they?
That's right, yeah.
It's interesting. It's a good point that do they identify with representing Scotland? Maybe some of them don't. I don't know. Maybe they struggle with that side of it because at the end of the day, some of them might only be representing Scotland on the strength of a great-grandfather. Mm. You know, some of these guys play lower league championship, even League One. They could be doing it to put themselves in the shop window, which they're entitled to do. It's a difficult one to work out whether they would, you know, they're bleeding for Scotland, so to speak. But I don't think this incident suggests that they're not. I just think it's three guys who overstepped the line, and end of the day, we've all been a little bit too drunk now and again, haven't we?
We have, you're right. And look, I'm not, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, because during my time, especially when it got into the New Zealand Rugby League team early days, we were sponsored by Lion Red, the beer company, yeah. You know, and they used to send crates of beer to England with us. And we'd have lock-ins, you know, we'd go out and have a couple of hours out on the town, like in Leeds at the Marriott Hotel, and then we'd all go back to a room, and then someone would lock
Super
the door.
Super League was Stones bitter, wasn't it, as well? So it was like, it was part of the culture.
It was part of the culture, and this is what made the tours livable. And I think you were bringing that up as well, because if you don't let your hair down, if you don't sort of do things sort of with that social lubricant that allows you to put up with one another, all you do is sit in the hotel and get fat, because you just have food on tap. You know, you have this big massive spread of for breakfast, and then at lunch you've got this another big massive spread, and then at tea you've got another big massive spread. And for New Zealand, like, we all our room service and everything was paid for. You know, New Zealand was well supported from a financial point of view, so, and we were getting good money as well. So if you weren't sort of doing other things, you'd just be getting in the hotel and getting fat. You used to put on weight. I'm sure you guys would agree with that. You go away on tour and you just don't. It's different. You don't eat as much normally. Mm. But when everything, oh, I'll have a bit of eggs. Oh, my sausage. Yeah. I normally have sausage. Oh, I have some bacon on this. Look at this big crusty white bread baguette. Oh, I'll have a slice of that. That slice turns into the whole baguette. Nope. Next minute, I'm 18 baguettes in after 2 days. I love white bread. It's a weakness of mine. Anyway, Scotland then are going to do it hard, aren't they?
Yeah,
well, I mean, without Danny Brough has always been, over the last, 6 years, have been their go-to man, their talisman. Mm. I mean, I think they can stomach the loss of the other players, but Danny's a massive, massive loss for them.
Yeah, like you say, everything they've done. I mean, you think about last year when they drew in New Zealand, he was a massive part of that, wasn't he? He was at the heart of that team. Everything they've done good to get to fourth in the world. So, I mean, they need to win this weekend. They need to beat Samoa, which, look, they've been beaten pretty badly twice. Elliot touched on it. Confidence will be on the floor. Mm. Players will be exhausted. They've had this to go through as well now with three of their teammates getting chucked out. I'd be amazed if they get the result. But stranger things have happened, I guess. But it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the other big sort of controversial thing that happened this weekend. And that was the biting accusation of Jermaine McGilvery. Come on, boys. Was it a bite?
No, it wasn't a bite, and obviously that's been proven today. For me, Farrah obviously was, you know, he had his arm in his mouth. I think he obviously rubbed it up and down, and I watched the game live, and no, it wasn't a bite, no way.
Peltz?
No, I think he was just fishing for a penalty, wasn't he, really? No winning at all.
Power?
Farrah was fishing the whole game for something.
Isn't he grubby?
The fact that a couple of the journos who were in Australia covering it at the minute, not that I'm jealous, said that there was like an hour-long hearing in Sydney today, and then the judiciary panel took 3 minutes to find him not
three
guilty,
minutes.
Which tells you everything you need to know, really, doesn't it? Like, if they're turning around and straight away they're going, yeah, not guilty, no case to answer. I mean, Farrah didn't even turn up to give evidence.
And didn't even write a written evidence.
He didn't even write
report,
any written evidence, so whether he was just trying to stir the pot on the night. There was a bit of talk that him and McGilvery actually had a bit of a chat after the game on the field as well, so it looked like
after the game, during the game.
Yeah.
They're walking arm in arm with one another.
I think.
He's a master of it.
Yeah.
Robbie Farrah is a master of that sort of gamesmanship.
And the other thing as well, which I guess got taken into account, I guess they looked at his previous character. Like, I can't remember Jermaine McGilvery ever being banned for any
Everyone
sort of foul play.
Like, he doesn't have that in his...
Yeah, he doesn't seem like that kind of player.
But I can tell you this, and I can easily say this now because I've retired and I've been a long time retired. you give me a facial like that and stick your arm anywhere near my mouth, I'm going to bite you as well.
Yeah, I'd have bit him.
I would have bit him. Because Robbie Farah, you know, the tissue on your face, especially your nose, is soft.
Yeah.
And you guys know what I mean. Everyone's been bopped in the nose before. And to get there going up, the forearm's hard. The bone of the forearm, the tibula, is hard.
Yeah.
And you're getting that rubbed up and down your face. If it gets near my mouth and I've got an opportunity, I'm going to chomp on it. Because one thing they're not taking into account, cause and effect. They're looking at the effect. The effect was what the accusation was, but the cause wasn't. The cause was illegal. You're not allowed to rub your forearm up and down someone's face.
Yeah. I reckon he had a nibble on it, to be fair, but it's because it was in his mouth.
You know? What like, do you
you've
want
got to do it when it's in your mouth. So
it's
I think
called gag reflex.
It's a reflex.
Stick something
in
your mouth, you're going to bite.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, he's done well not to react even further if somebody's done that to him.
Well, he jumped up and grabbed him, but you know Jerry's style. I'm just going to grab and hold you at a distance and act mean. I'm not going to throw a punch. I'd love to see Jerry just chuck it. No, don't. We don't condone that sort of stuff on this show. Anyway, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to pull apart the England versus Lebanon game and see where we think Wayne Bennett could have done better. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at Pulse 1 Studios. In the studio we have... We have the Italian stallion, Elliot Minchella. We have Ross Peltier and the power that is Aaron Bauer. We're talking England Rugby League. We're talking their outcome against Lebanon, underwhelming.
Yeah.
Let's say what it is. It was underwhelming. It was going in the right direction in the first half. Second half went real flat, didn't it?
Yeah. Look, you don't win the World Cup in the first 2 weeks, do you? Let's make that clear. But everyone expected a little bit more from England. It felt flat. I was really, really not excited after the Aussie game, but optimistic. I watched that and I thought, they look like there's 17 guys there who'll certainly be able to mix it
and
with the Kiwis
up,
and the Aussies come the latter stages. But that looked like a team. I mean, Robbie Farah after the game said that they were a park team, but let's be honest.
They're not.
They weren't a park team. Mitchell Moses, Tim Manor, Farah himself, Grubby Farah, they're a proper team, but I still think England should have been had enough to get over them better than what they did.
I gave England a 30 to 40 point spread on them.
Well, at half time, I think you said, didn't you, on the BBC, and I think everyone collectively thought, right, 22-6 up, realistically now, this is where you kick on and you start running a bit of a score up on them. But it's never happened. One try all half, and that took some miracle-like from Big Tom, didn't it, to score that wonder try. But they were good. They kept fighting. They kept digging in, didn't they, Lebanon? They didn't roll over, but...
Well, I think they made the game grubby. I think they did it
they
right.
They slowed it down.
Yeah, their game managed really smart. They kicked the ball out when they could. They held on to the tackle a little bit longer. They broke up the England's rhythm, and rhythm plays a big part in all of those type of things. How did you see the game go?
I was a bit disappointed. Obviously, I've seen some of the results prior to this game. I expected England to run up a score on them, and like Aaron said at half time, I thought second half they really kick on. But like you said, Lebanon, they really did. They played to their strengths. They made it really grubby and restricted England. But still, I just expected a bit more. Disappointed, but a win's a win, and like I say, you don't win it in week two.
Pelts, do you reckon England should have been left at home and the Reggae Warriors should have taken their spot?
Yeah, definitely. More entertainment, I reckon. But no, England, like you said, seem flat. It seems like they're still working stuff out, still building towards.
But that's a good thing,
building,
though, isn't it? They will. They will
we
be
haven't
working
seen
stuff
80
out.
80-minute performance from them yet.
We look, what I was watching, and I think the right side is really quite strong. But for me, it seems too one-dimensional. It is all right side. And the conversation has to be around Watkins knows how to play his position. You've got a structured right side back line that have actually been working together for 2-3 years. Yeah. So they understand their spatial awareness there and what they need to do. the thing that made Luke Gale, or one of the things that makes Luke Gale special, is time and space on the ball, but more importantly, his ability to communicate with those players outside him at Castleford. So you've got Lucina Lafao, then you've got
Shenton, who should be in the squad.
He should be in the squad. And you've got Zach Hardaker out the back. Now, we all know what happened to Zach. But the communication, we're talking about rhythms here. The communication is looks. You know what it's like. When you get playing with guys so long, all you need to do is to give them that look. You give them that look and it's on. But here, you have to turn your head and you have to talk all the time. And I just, for me, even when they did have a shot down the left-hand side, and you got Bateman out there, who's a back rower, who's a world-class back rower, who's having to play in the centre position. Now, you guys know as well as I do, the spatial awareness, it's just not the same. When you're 5-10 metres inside the field, you've got so much more to work with, and your job is different. So, again, I think we got caught out on the line. You know, Bateman, again, held his line again, didn't leave the line, get forward. But equally, I don't think it's his fault either. I don't think I would like to see Ben Curry in that position.
Well, Burgess will be in that position next weekend when he's back.
Burgess, well, Percival.
True. Oh, sorry, you're talking about the centres. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the back row. Percival's got a chance, hasn't he, this weekend? From the outside looking in, it doesn't look like Wayne Bennett rates him too highly. I mean, he didn't even play against the Affiliated States in the warm-up, which said everything you needed to know. He's playing in a game now where he's bringing all these other players in who haven't played a game. You know, your Scott Taylors and people like that, they look like they're towards the bottom of the pecking order, and he's resting people up for the quarters, which I'm not sure is the right thing to do anyway. So Percival's going to have a wow of a game, I think. And he's capable. He's a really good centre. I really like him, really rate him, but I don't know if he's Wayne Bennett's flavour of the month.
The whispers that I've heard is that Wayne Bennett thinks that there's too many errors in him. And you know what that position's like. Centre, if they have too many errors, either they're defensive or attacking errors,
massive.
Basically, it breaks down the whole play. And I think we saw that with Watkins. So Watkins was off his rhythm. A couple of forward passes in the second half. He started upstream too much on his fullback a couple of times, which gave him less time to make that their killer pass. And that stopped England getting back into their rhythm and flow again. I think the forwards were great. I think the forwards set a great platform, but there was just something disjointed about the halves. And then when they bring George Williams on, they put him in the right side, and he's a left-sided halfback. For me, shouldn't he have been? You know, Luke Gale wasn't offering much in that position anyway. So wouldn't that have been a great opportunity for a risk-averse opportunity to try a different halfback in that position?
I think it would. I saw a stat the other day that George Williams was the most try assist in Super League, obviously playing on the left-hand side at Wigan.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty obvious that the England side, they're not attacking fluently down the left. So just give him a run. He is an attacking halfback. He'll create stuff. And I'm not saying Luke Gale won't, but I just think, just give George a shot and see how he goes.
Well, I think there's another layer to it, because you've got a Lachlan at loose forward who's used to working with George Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gives you that combination, that cohesion time. And I think this is at the crux of it. If you don't have the players around Luke Gale, who he's used to. So
that's why I think the Hardaker thing is bigger than everyone realises.
Yeah.
Gale and Hardaker, they played 35 times together this season, and sometimes they were telepathic in the way they were thinking. Throwing Shenton as well, excuse me, you know, there's Eden out there. There's a real understanding that suddenly Gale's playing with guys now who he's been bashing all year. He's not used to playing their way, they're not used to playing his way. He's also a confidence player, a lot of halfbacks are. And he plays in a way at Castleford where he likes to be in complete control of that team, not just the left, but both edges of the field. Throwing, you've got Gareth Widdop, who has the same role at St George. I guess Sean O'Loughlin has a similar role at Wigan. And there's a lot of people trying to take control of the team there. And it does.
Too many chiefs.
Yeah, you do get a little bit of that, I think. So everyone.
Comes with time. They will work that out, won't they?
Which I get, but in what, 10 days' time, England are playing in a quarter final and they have to win the game. So this is the problem with not playing enough international rugby. They don't have any time. Wayne Bennett's been in charge for 2 years now, and this is like his seventh game as coach. I mean, they just don't play enough together. You know, these guys, the Origin guys, get the experience of playing at a higher level and an elite level on a regular basis. The Fijians, the Samoans, the PNG guys, they play each other in the Pacific Tests. We don't have that exposure. And when you throw them together and say, right, you've got 4 weeks, go and win a World Cup, I'm not sure it's physically possible, if I'm being honest.
Cohesion, boys. Elliot Ross, how important is it? And in reflection of the game coming up against France, shouldn't this be an ideal opportunity to get the cohesion that Aaron's talking about?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be time for them to get the pairings right and, you know, get all the playing right. You know, I think with George Williams on the left with Bateman and that as well, another Wigan lad as well as O'Loughlin, I think they could have someone on that left side. But I think Wayne Bennett's one of them, if you don't fancy her, then... that's you gone. But like Aaron was saying, I think there needs to be a lot more internationals, especially this side of the you know, world. I think England don't play enough.
Well, it opens up that bigger argument about how poorly the home nation teams have done. I mean, Ireland's been a revelation, don't get me wrong, but the rest of the home nations, i.e. Scotland and Wales, they've really underperformed as to what they were expected to achieve. All right, I'm going to come back on this for the final segment of the show. We're going to take a break, so stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Pulse One. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, this show has flown, but welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Elliot Minchella, Ross Peltier and Aaron Bauer. We're giving away two tickets to the Bradford Bulls 20th anniversary dinner up at the Providence Stadium, Oddsall, on the 18th, Saturday the 18th of November. It's going to be a fantastic night. All the old boys are coming back. We're going to have a few drinks and tell a few stories, quite a lot of stories, and I will let you know what really happened during that groundbreaking 1997 season. Absolutely brilliant. Great fun. Boys, we were talking about England. Let's stay on the England. Obviously, that's the real topic. We went from one position to the other. We're looking at the greater aspect of the game. During the break, we were just talking about the value of having international games during the season. International games helps us for a number of reasons. One of the big reasons is of general interest. People are interested, you know, people beyond our game are interested in England performing, Wales performing, Scotland performing, and Ireland performing. And I think that has a value to the growth of our game and the general interest. And luckily for us, over the course of the past, probably the last decade, those games have been supported by domestic television. So I guess it brings into the to under the magnifying glass, into the spotlight, is too much value put on club and domestic rugby league in this country at the detriment of international rugby.
We play too much club rugby league, I think, and that means you can't play enough international rugby. John Keir said this week this is a wake-up call for the Northern Hemisphere. Those guys are exposed to international rugby regularly. They, you know, they have breaks, they have camps. We don't have any of that. I mean, this isn't a thing that gets solved overnight. This is 8, 10, 12 years worth of hard work now.
Well, just on that, and I think what he's referring to is the second tier, what they acknowledge as the second tier international team, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji. These teams who are second tier are putting on 50, 60, 70-point margins.
On our second tier teams,
second tier.
We look, you have to have more breaks for international rugby. From an ignorant point of view, it's the one time of the year that the papers really care, the national papers, they care about the grand final and the cup final and then international rugby. It's what matters. It's the bread and butter of sport, isn't it? If England are doing well in the World Cup, more people will get interested. More people in Wales will get interested. So really, if like Ireland have a good World Cup, the legacy then is next year Ireland could get a game against Samoa in Ireland. Let's see how many that sells out, but we all know we won't see any of that.
And looking at it strategically, we're building towards a 2021 World Cup here, and it's important that those seeds are planted now, because the 15, 16, 17 year olds that will be in that talent pool during that World Cup will come to maturity over the next 3 to 4 years. And something that's quite interesting down under, so about 10, 12 years ago, what they started doing was sending, the NRL started sending a load of full-time professional development officers, not to practice in the islands, not to set up camps, to live there and create competitions. Ross, Reggae Warriors, anything like that ever been mentioned?
Yeah, well, the World Cup we missed out on, I think we missed out on around £2 million or £1 million worth of funding which would have gone to a lot, which, I mean, I think that before a game, that we were all thinking of that and focusing on that, because, like, your budget that you get, you know, personal budget for when you're away on tour, mm-hmm. we forfeit to the players who come from there because they don't really have a penny to their name. But they've got, like, domestic competitions set up there and everything now. They play regular competitions against...
But who's coaching their coaches?
That's the problem.
Is a governing body? Is it our excellence going into it?
That's the problem. I think there were a few Aussie coaches who went over there, and I think Glenn Morrison's trying to... And Jamel Coleman are trying to get something in place so they can help coach them and get everything together. But it's all a funding thing, really. And
yeah.
It's what rugby league's lacking a bit of.
And I think it comes back to that ultimate argument in and around the funding that actually is in place, probably just not been enough. If you look at the other sports that we're competing against, the NRL, which we were competing against, it's been a long-running theme, but there's not enough money in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, there isn't enough money in the game, but I think, really, it's a strong international game creates more money. I mean, 20 years ago...
What comes first, egg or the chicken?
20 years ago, rugby union were just turning... Or 25 years ago, rugby union were just turning professional. Now, I mean, look at the pulling power of the Six Nations and the Autumn Internationals. They've built their foundations on a strong international game and everything else follows it, really, and John Keir said it. In Australia, you've got State of Origin, then the NRL, then in the international game.
You know what is a good argument here, and a good reflective point, is the English football sport, the sport of football in England. So at all your junior levels, you win world titles, world series, under-15s, under-17s, under-19s. You're up there with the elite, you know, with the top three in every single competition if you're not actually winning it. And then when you get your senior players, your senior team, they just can't compete at the World Cup. That talent doesn't transfer to that top tier. Where's the bottleneck? It's the Premier League, the clubs. They are the premier. They are where the problem is, because they're all about themselves and competing in that competition. Do we run the risk of being in the same boat, that the bottleneck becomes our Super League clubs that are just really, and we've seen it time and time again, they're interested in how they perform, how they survive, as opposed to feeding through to a strong international team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They have too much power, don't they, the clubs? I think we agree that. And that impacts on everyone else. Like the England are fine. Look, I know they're probably not going to win the World Cup, but they're still...
Oh, don't be a defeatist. Well, own it.
I'll go on the most recent performance,
Robbie. Think it will happen, Aaron.
I'll go on the most recent... You're only as good as your most recent performance.
Your last game, your last 80 minutes.
So they're not going to win the World Cup.
On that performance, long stretch. England, but they've got the tools.
England's not the problem for me. 10 years now, or you want 10 years of hard work, and you want to be in a position where Ireland are strong, Scotland are strong, Wales are strong, France are strong, and you don't need to rely on playing Australia and New Zealand for that top-level exposure. Yeah. You've got home nation series, you've got five nations, you've got series against Wales can play Scotland and France, and then the game grows, really. I mean, but there's not enough time. We don't have enough
We'll need a break.
Schedule. And then you've got Magic Weekend, you've got Challenge Cup, and there's game after game after game. Play everyone home and away, plus another game, and then you've got the playoffs and the new setup system. Yeah,
eights is too many. Yeah. The home and away and a Magic Weekend, then a playoff.
Okay, let's leave that behind. Let's look forward to the England game against France this weekend. We've had some changes.
Yeah.
Four players are coming in. Yeah. Let me just have a look at who they are.
Kevin Brown, Scott Taylor, Mike McMeekin, and Mark Percival are in.
Are all in.
Yeah.
So the lineup is
Ratchford, Widdop
at fullback.
Yeah, no? Widdop at fullback, Ratchford and McGilvery on the wings, Bateman and Percival in the centres, Brown and Gale in the halves, Graham, Roby, Hill in the front row, Curry and McMeekin in the back row, and a Lachlan at 13.
Oh, I love it. I've got
Ben
this here.
Ben Shees, Wormsley, Tom
Burgess.
That's
why you're the power, mate.
Scott Taylor.
And George Williams on the bench again, yeah. See, that's the thing. You know, I was really looking forward to, hopefully, if we were going to make changes this week, seeing George Williams, seeing what George Williams was all about. It's how much game time he gets again. He got 15 minutes last week. I don't think that's enough for a halfback to really stamp his authority onto a game, especially international level. So interested to see how the changes go. Also interested to see whether any of those who are playing for a spot in the team, like Percival, I guess, also Ratchford, McMeekin, whether they really have a chance for next week. They're going to have to play well, I think.
Whether they can step up. Ross, Elliot, what are you guys looking for from your England team?
Obviously, some new faces. Hopefully, they'll want to prove a point, and we'll hopefully get a bit more of an expansive game like we wanted last week. Try and run up a score against the French and build into the quarterfinals.
Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I just want to see some excitement. I just want to see some, you know, some fire, some flair, wherever it be. You know, just someone taking game back, scruff a neck, you know, try to make some. But I just want to see something that excites me, because that Lebanon game, it kind of boring to me. It was just a bit like. Yeah.
It was growing, though. I mean, the first half was getting better and better, and they were starting to move the ball, and they were dominating, and then the second half was
flat, really flat.
So how can they step it up? You know, with these changes, how can they step it up?
Tell the guys who were playing for Spot to go out and impress. Tell Kevin Brown, look, this might be the only time, this might be the last time you play for England.
Yeah.
Play it like it's your last game. George, I would have started George Williams for that regard. Look, you've not had a sniff so far. Go out there and prove me wrong. You've got 80 minutes. We're going to win the game, but play well enough, play off the cuff enough, play with enough flair. I mean, Williams' running game is one of the best in the world. Like, it's phenomenal. So if it feels like they're holding him back a little bit, I'd be unleashing him and telling him to go hell for leather.
All right, we've got 20 seconds left. I'll just ask you quickly, the real game of the round is Tonga versus New Zealand.
Yeah.
So what's the outcome going to be, Aaron?
Tonga win.
Oh, stop it.
Tonga
go
win.
On, pal.
I get Tonga by 6.
Oh, yeah. You're making me
clean sweep. Tonga.
Oh, you guys are kidding yourself.
Yes.
You have no idea about rugby league whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Boys, thank you for being with us. And we love you. So this was the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.